You can find this podcast and others at Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Welcome to episode 22. I'm going to give you a sneak preview of things to come. As a liberal, I am well and truly astonished at the whoppers that we as a people let our politicians get away with unchallenged. Maybe by now you've all figured out that I'm very willing to challenge their lies, damn lies, and statistics that they try to feed us. This being the Liberals' Gun Corner, when we do this here, we do tend to focus on things relating to the Second Amendment. Of course, we're the Liberals' Gun Corner. We did it not too long ago with Attorney General Eric Holder and the list of bromides he recently just spoon-fed to the NAACP earlier this year about firearms. You know, stand your ground, all that other related stuff. This was in light of the George Zimmerman verdict. So we're not going to shy away from this. Now, some very misguided people have claimed that all I care about when I vote is the Second Amendment. Well, it's not true, but what if it were? Would we be so quick to criticize, someone voting based on First Amendment issues? I sure hope not. Not in this country. Okay, how about voting based on the Fourth or Fifth Amendments? You gonna denigrate someone as, just a single-issue voter if they vote based on the First, Fourth, or Fifth Amendments? I sure hope not. Well, not if you value this country anyway. Well, folks, the Second Amendment is what upholds all those other amendments that we cling so dearly to. Without the Second, we lose the First. We lose the Fourth. We lose the Fifth. Oh, and kiss the 14th Amendment goodbye, too. That matters to me, being the son of a black man. You know, kinda, sorta. So, yeah, if you're a liberal, you need to be caring about all this. And that means you need to care about the Second Amendment, too. And possibly even before all the other amendments. We've been talking about that pretty deeply here on the Liberals Gun Corner. You've heard from people who didn't have that freedom that we have over here. That's why the right to keep and bear arms is in that Constitution of ours, like it is. And now, in the spirit of your feedback matters, we're going to, here and there, read some letters that you've written. We did that last time. We will continue the tradition. Matter of fact, we're going to call this section Listener's Letters. 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 With that, let's get to some listener's letters here. Hi, T. My name is Dan, but everyone calls me Ragweed. I love to hear you speak about guns. I live in West By God, Virginia, and I've been shooting since I was 5, over 40 years ago. Got my first gun when I was 5, but I couldn't go hunting with my cousin until we were 9. This is the first email I've ever sent, and hope you get it, but I'll probably never know. Keep up the good shows and fight. Ragweed, I'm guessing you don't do a lot of email, and I've learned you're not the only one, by the way. Far from it. Rest assured, though, we are definitely keeping up the shows. And we are keeping up the fight, too. We're not going anywhere. That fight, by the way, is for liberty and justice. For all. Battle of Athens, Tennessee? Well, that showed us all just how important the Second Amendment is for keeping that liberty and justice for all. Look it up, folks. I think we talked about it in episode 3, too. And I remind all of you, the Battle of Athens, Tennessee happened here, in this country. So, folks, be careful when you say it can't happen here. It can, and it has. Here's a letter referring to the assault weapons episode. This would be episode number 11. This is from Ronnie. In his letter, he criticizes the term assault weapon and refers to the modern civilian-grade semi-automatic rifles by their correct name, which is modern sporting rifle. Remember, folks, an assault weapon is by definition fully automatic. That means machine gun, not a civilian-grade semi-automatic AR-15, AK-47, HK-91, which is the semi-automatic version of an HK G3, or a PTR-91, which is just an improved HK-91, and so on. Okay? I know something about this because I am former military and I have used a real M16. That's an assault rifle. An AR-15 that you see in the gun shows all the time, that's, 800, 1,000, 1,200 bucks, that is not an assault rifle. So, this is Ronnie's letter. Here we go.
As a new owner of a modern sporting rifle, I like it a lot. But I think it is important that we tell people when they ask why we need assault weapons, why they are desirable for all the reasons. I agree there's some snarky stuff and rights-based stuff we can add. Again, let us not forget to include why we like them, find them desirable, and remind them that, to date, we have not mowed anybody down with them, aside from steel zombie targets. Thanks for a great podcast.
You got a point, Ronnie. I just suggested the aunties would quickly point to what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, and say, but see, 20 children were mowed down with them. Unfortunately, the aunties are right. That murderer mowed down a grand total of 26 people with his mother's AR-15, which, by the way, she had legally purchased and even undergone a background check for. Well, so much for background checks stopping Newtown, huh? As for why we find modern sporting rifles desirable, well, there are lots of reasons. From what I'm seeing more and more, one of the biggest reasons to have a modern sporting rifle is that the police have them, too. Now that the police precincts are leading with SWAT teams and beating down Mayor Calvo's door, you know, shooting his dogs, and then pointing the rifles at him and his mother-in-law, yeah, we the people certainly should have the same thing that the cops have, too. You bet. We just talked about Mayor Calvo and what happened to him and his family in the last episode. That's what the Second Amendment's all about, folks. That's what the Founding Fathers were talking about, not hunting or sport. We hope it never happens to us. But for goodness sake, if it does, we got to be able to defend ourselves. Just think of Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath of that. Here's another letter, and this particular person who wrote in asked that his or her identity be kept anonymous if his or her words were used here. Of course, I will respect that, and thank you for your trust.
T, was looking around for some new podcasts and happened across the Liberals Gun Corner, which has been an entirely refreshing view. I'm not a liberal or conservative. I guess I lean libertarian if I had to be pinned into a container. But as a firearms enthusiast, I've grown tired of having gun ownership overwhelmingly pegged to a political affiliation, not to mention the often vitriolic attitude displayed towards those of contrary political views in forums, gun shows, etc. I let my NRA membership lapse many years ago for this reason. As such, this podcast is absolutely superb. Cowboy T comes across as extremely rational, like he was lifted from right from one of the many skeptic critical thinking podcasts I listen to. And being a fellow geek is the icing on the cake. I blew soda out of my nose after hearing super cow powers mentioned in one of the episodes. Please keep making shows.
Well, thank you, and rest assured we're going to keep making shows as long as I'm able to and as long as people still get value out of them. I do believe in critical thinking. That actually goes directly to my current view on firearms. Remember, I used to not like guns, folks. Sure, I understood it's a right, yeah. But when I was a kid, I had no problem with things like registration or limiting how many guns someone could have, magazine size limitations, all that stuff. Well, here came critical thinking and slapped me upside the face. Forced me to change my own mind on that. That's what we strive for here on the Liberals Gun Corner. Sometimes that gets kind of provocative. That happens. Remember, folks, this is America. And not only do we get to do that here, we need to be doing that here. So, by the way, since I'm a geek, you're going to hear the occasional geek reference around here. You betcha. You might say I have an aptitude for geek references. We'll take a quick station ID break and continue our conversation from last time about our learned institutions of higher learning. Stay tuned.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.
Back we are, and we are back. Remember we talked last time about educators and their love for the Second Amendment? Well, turns out, to paraphrase Paul Harvey, there's more to that story. See, these administrators of our
institutions of higher learning
are so anti, matter of fact, they don't even want gun safety courses taught on their campuses in some cases. Yeah, get this. They don't even like safety courses. You can't make this up, folks. Listen to this. Just recently, the Los Angeles Community College System permanently canceled a longstanding gun safety class. This was put on by the National Rifle Association. This class was generally taught at one of the nine colleges. This particular college is called Pierce College. Now, this class had been very well attended for 6 years. Class was packed just about every time. Packed. Used non-functional replicas of guns. No actual firearms. Non-functional replicas. But apparently, non-functional replicas are now no longer allowed on campus. And that, by the way, includes those in an instructional setting. Oh, this is a with an exemption for the class on acting. Go figure. That restriction includes even the plastic model guns. You know, the blue hunks of solid plastic that's molded into the external shape of a gun that vendors use to sometimes demonstrate their holsters and such. Even those are not allowed. Not even for a safety class. That's straight from the president of this Pierce College, one Dr. Kathleen Burke-Kelly. Yep. It's so bad that even the mention of the word gun is apparently now verboten in their campus catalog. Doesn't appear anywhere. And the ban extends to all nine of the Los Angeles community colleges, not just this one, Pierce College. Now, I've been to college, too. My major was chemistry. Why, in the name of heaven, would anybody, especially supposedly highly educated folks like these, you know, with PhDs and such like that, how could they possibly, why would they possibly object to a class about gun safety? Isn't that supposed to be a good thing? Safety? Well, here's the response from the Board of Trustees Vice President, one Mr. Scott Svonkin. I think that's right. It's spelled S-V-O-N-K-I-N. I hope I'm saying it right. I quote Mr. Svonkin. I believe that the NRA's goal is to promote gun ownership and that guns lead to deaths. So not having the NRA teach classes, not having the NRA classes on our campuses is a good thing. I'm much happier with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department protecting our students and our staff and our faculty than having some random person who took a 3-hour class and thinks that they're Dirty Harry. Whoa, 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 whoa. Excuse me. Dirty Harry? See, that's the kind of snarky ad hominem nonsense that I was talking about before in the last episode. He knows he doesn't have a rational case, so he insults his entire student body. Oh, furthermore, he makes a heck of a leap. Then now here's a whopper for you, that guns lead to deaths. Well, apparently he never met my father, whose gun led to his still being alive today. Oh, no, I guess that doesn't fit into his agenda, huh? Oh, and get this. This Board of Trustee Vice President, Mr. Svonkin, he is supposedly an educated individual, apparently, furthermore, doesn't know what non-operational means. Yep, that's right. He said so. Yeah, I said, you can't make this up. According to the article, and I quote, Svonkin, who authored the resolution, told Campus Reform that, that's, by the way, who reported this originally, that he himself was not sure what non-operational meant. You know, I'm not an expert in guns, he said. Close quote. Oh, boy. I did a little research on Mr. Svonkin. Apparently, he's a businessman who's gotten pretty well connected politically. He appears to be a Democrat, well, at least judging by his website. He lists the politicians he's done fundraising for. These politicians include Bill Clinton, yeah, President Bill Clinton, Kathleen Brown, Valerie Fields, all Democrats. He also worked in Los Angeles Mayor Tom Bradley's office for a time. Mayor Bradley, well known from his gubernatorial run in California some years back, is a Democrat. So I'm guessing that so is this Mr. Svonkin. Apparently he's towing that party line. Well, that's California, isn't it? Something comes to mind with all this. It's hardly a secret I grew up in San Francisco. It's not like I, you know, don't advertise it almost every episode or anything like that. You know, San Francisco, land of free love, fruits, nuts, and flakes, all that good stuff. Well, big surprise, and here's what comes to mind with all this. We had sex ed classes out there. Now, wait, don't worry. This is a family-friendly podcast, folks. Just stick with me. One thing that we never saw much of in those classes, it was a focus on abstinence like they have in some other parts of the country. Shouldn't come as much of a surprise that I don't believe telling your kids, no, 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 just say no, is going to work. Didn't work back in the Puritan days either. Well, at least judging by the birth records anyway. They carried on like crazy. Well, naturally, you'd think that folks in so-called liberal, enlightened places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, and so on, they would see the folly of that like the Europeans do. Most Californians I've ever met, including the Antis, they certainly do. Oh, yeah. But, ho-ho, Apparently, that's not true for these same antis when it comes to firearms. Nope, 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 nope. Here it's different. Seems instead they believe in something similar to abstinence when it comes to anything having to do with firearms. They seem to think that if you keep information about firearms from people, keep it a secret, then firearms will simply cease to exist. Just say no! A fellow on the Liberal Gun Club's forums, this fellow on here pretty much nailed it when he said, and I quote, "It's like sex ed, you know? You teach it and kids will do it like rabbits, with a condom, and will have abortions, and will be disobedient." Oh, no sarcasm involved there at all, by the way. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Another Liberal Gun Club poster, this person named Haga Gaga. Yeah, I know, say that three times fast. This person said this: "I've made the abstinence-only firearm education comparison before, but never has it been more evident than this." Senior Grand, yet another Liberal poster, says, "No better time to learn that knowledge is dangerous than in school." I agree. Abstinence-only quote-unquote education only leads to failure. It always has. We Liberals seem to tend to call that indoctrination. Knowledge, by contrast, is power, and that's what we should be supporting. We'll take a short station ID and be right back.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
I just recently got my hands on a copy of Emily Miller's book, Emily Gets Her Gun, But Obama Wants to Take Yours. I'm about halfway through the book so far. She makes a lot of really good points in this book. She also effectively declares war on people like me, liberals. And that's really unfortunate. That's too bad, because people like me are her natural allies. I think there's a chance to do something about that, by the way. You know, improve the situation. So, who is this person? And furthermore, why should we care? Fair questions. Emily Miller is a senior opinion editor for the newspaper The Washington Times. After she ended up in a home robbery situation, turns out she was house-sitting for a friend and things got a little more hairy than she cared for, she decided, oh no, not again. And she went through Washington, D.C.'s process of legally getting a handgun. She details this process in her long-running series, Emily Gets Her Gun, which was the inspiration for her book. I'm from San Francisco, California. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to mention that. That's a secret I keep forgetting. Darn. Oh, well, anyways, even by San Franciscan standards, Washington, D.C.'s process is well and truly onerous. Of all places. Folks, we're talking about the supposed center of the free world. You know, the capital of the United States of America. You would have to basically go through hell and make it out alive to legally get a gun in Washington, D.C. And it shouldn't be that way. I've met Emily. First thing that struck me about her was how polite she is. She's a rather nice woman. Very, very polite when you meet her. She's also a tiny little pixie of a thing. I think she's like 5'2" or so. She might be 105 pounds, dripping wet. I, by contrast, am 6'4", well over 200 pounds. I'm a good-sized dude. There's no way that Emily would be able to fight off an assailant, say, my size in hand-to-hand combat. She wouldn't stand a chance. That's why she decided to get her gun. And I say, right on, Emily. You have every right in the world to defend yourself, and I'm sure glad you did it and documented what you went through to get it. Now, let me tell you something about the Washington Times. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, there are two major papers in the Washington, D.C. area, from what I can tell anyway. They're the Washington Post and the Washington Times. The latter, the Times, was founded by this fellow named Reverend Sun Myung Moon, a major, humongous social conservative, very religious, lots of money too, by the way. Maybe you've heard of some folks called the Moonies. It refers to Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church and its members. The Washington Times definitely reflects his views, even though he's been dead a year or so. If the Washington Post, remember that's the other newspaper in Washington, D.C., if the Post tends to slant towards progressivism, and it most certainly does, I assure you, then the Times tends to slant just as much toward neoconservatism. Emily does note in the book that the Times is known for its conservative op-ed pages. I'll give her this. unlike a lot of other folks in the journalism profession. Yes, I'm talking about you, Wolf Blitzer, Diane Sawyer, Anderson Cooper, Megyn Kelly. Unlike those folks, Emily states her political leanings and biases so you know where she's coming from. This weekend, I met her again at a book signing. I decided, okay, let's go to this. I'd heard about it and said, all right, let's check it out. Wore one of my San Francisco Liberal with a Gun shirts, the white one. Oh, and the model 629 and 44 Magnum. That sat on my hip in this nice tooled leather holster I got at a gun show. Oh, gun show. Does that make it an assault holster? I wonder. Anyway, she was kind enough to sign my copy of the book. Thanks, Emily. She does acknowledge that the word liberal is nearly a curse word to her. She also is aware that I am a liberal, and that as the on-duty rangemaster one day, I helped her out a little bit when she was first learning how to shoot. That's how I first met her. So, being a good liberal, I figured, okay, let's read this book and see what's in it. Let's see what she has to say. Remember that being a liberal means also being willing to look at ideas, even if it's from someone you might not necessarily agree with, and then making a decision on that idea based on its own merit. That's our way. My camera lady told me, by the way, that the progressive-oriented group Media Matters is doing some fact-checking, quote-unquote fact-checking, on her book. Now, I'm somewhat familiar with Media Matters, so I'm kind of doubtful that their view of it will be without some strong progressive and even Democratic Party bias. Well, being a pretty independent-minded liberal, I'm going to do some evaluation of this book on my own. Hopefully, Emily and I can engage in some dialogue so that she becomes aware that liberal does not mean either Democrat or anti-Second Amendment, because it doesn't. It never has. Folks, remember the definition of liberalism. We talked about it in the first episode. I'm not sure if I'll be able to, but my hope is to show Emily, who does have an audience, by the way, a good-sized one, that the Second Amendment isn't about liberals or conservatives, and especially not Democrats and Republicans. It's simply a civil right, like any other, and it should be treated as such, without any of this partisan Democratic or Republican junk attached to it. After I finish reading this book, I'll let you know what I think of it. That'll come up in a future episode. Speaking of which, we'll be back to this episode very shortly, right after we take a station ID break. See you in a moment.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network, so visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards, and PayPal accounts are not required. GunRightsRadio.com.
Back we are, and we have returned.
Oh, that was courtesy of the Department of Redundancy Department. folks in the cities, like Emily, who we just got through talking about, aren't the only ones who've been scared of physical harm at the hands of someone or something bigger and more powerful than they are. Far from it. We've been discussing folks who lived in and grew up in places where they couldn't get the means for their own self-protection against an otherwise overwhelming force. We featured their testimony here on the Liberals' Gun Corner. The first one was a survivor of Tiananmen Square, Mr. Yang Li. May remember that. Then we heard from Professor Sofal Ir. This time, we're going to hear from someone who escaped from Cuba. His name is Mr. Manuel Martinez. He's been a citizen of this country for, somewhere over 40 years. Mr. Martinez got out of Castro's Cuba and made it here. On April 4th of this year, 2013, that's just a few months ago, he was speaking to the Oregon State Legislature in that state's capital, Salem. This is when that state was considering more gun bans after the tragic events of Newtown, Connecticut.
My name is Manuel Martinez. Born in Cuba. American citizen for more than 40 years. I oppose any manipulation, any regulation, elimination, or disturb of the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. In 1959, a revolution with individuals, malicious individuals, masquerading as Democrats, revolutionaries, established a regime, a dictatorial regime in my nation, called communism, socialism, Stalinism, Marxism, and whatever the name ism you want to put it. The reason was done to take away the guns from the people, the right of the people to wear guns. That is a God-given right. It's not given by anybody. It's not given by any group. It's the same thing as freedom, which is a God-given right, and no one, absolutely no one, has the authority to take it away. This is to defend the Second Amendment and my God-given right of freedom will cease only with my death. I've been through it. I've been there. You people don't know what freedom is because you never lost it. You haven't been the tortures. You haven't been the assassinations. You haven't been mothers begging for the life of their son not to be killed because the only reason they want is to be free. And they kill the mothers and they kill the son. So my way to protest, the way to oppose, is because if we are tangling with the Second Amendment, we are open the same way that Cuba was open for communism, China, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Venezuela, on and on. A dictatorial regime that will destroy this country in the same way that destroyed these ones, those ones that I mentioned to you. Gun control, do not protect anybody. Don't protect the citizens. Don't protect the people. The only reason for the gun control is the government to protect from them citizens. In that way, the government can vassalage, manipulate the people and subjugate them. That's what happened in Cuba for 52 years, 54. I came here for freedom. At the time I came here was different. This country opened the arm for me. I couldn't get it in Cuba. And they opened the arm for me. I probably wouldn't get it here today. I hope that I get clear with you and you understand my point of view. I think that's conclude my testimony.
Mr. Martinez, thank you very much for coming forward. Are there any questions? We have a panel here that's...
Uh-huh. You don't know what freedom is because you never lost it. Yes, I know he's really talking about the white population because blacks and other brown folks did lose their freedom here in this country. I know that. That's not really what I'm getting at here, though I have mentioned it before several episodes here in the Liberals' Gun Corner, so we have covered it. But that's not really my point. The point here is I've been to places where the general population did lose it. I've been to Turkey. Absolutely beautiful country and possibly the friendliest people you've ever met. Really. They showed me hospitality the likes of which I've never seen in this country. But do you know they've got a law against, and I quote, insulting Turkishness? Yeah, they do. And over there, oh, if you're Kurdish, you're scum. It's like being black over here during the Jim Crow days. Also, I've been to several Latin American countries. I've been to several European countries. In all of them, you've got to beg the government,
Mommy, may I?
To legally have a gun at all. Translation, very few people have them legally. It's just like Maryland or California or D.C. Oh, not saying there isn't gun ownership in, for example, Mexico. It's just not done legally. Same's true of Peru. Same's true of Argentina. Same's true of Brazil. In the European countries, apparently they're a bit too scared and cowed to own them illegally, so the vast majority of them, of the folks there, just forego it. And there are very few people who go through the arduous process to legally get a firearm. I haven't been to Cuba, but I've met some folks from there. They've told me the stories. Cuba is rough. What you just heard from Mr. Manuel Martinez lines right up with what I've heard from Cuban immigrants over the years. You don't think so? You dispute this? Okay, go live there for a while and try. Just try acting like an estadounidense over there. Yeah, go ahead. Go into full gringo mode and speak out against the Castro government. I dare you. Oh, that a little too hot for you? Okay, how's about something a little easier? How about Mexico, our neighbor to the south? Go to Mexico City. Speak out against the government there. No? Well, okay, we'll go even easier than that. Here's what I'll do. Here's what we'll do. We'll pick something right here in the good old U.S. of A. How about going to a Michael Bloomberg function and challenging him on stop and frisk? Hey, this is America, right? Nothing bad had happened to you here in the USA, right? First Amendment, freedom of speech, all that good stuff, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. You're staying right where you are, aren't you? And if you're in New York, God help you. Well, can't say I blame you for not wanting to go to these other places and take on the government. And the fact that you have those freedoms at all here in this country, that's because ordinary citizens like you and I can easily own guns. This is Cowboy T signing off until next time. Till then, remember that the key to freedom is the ability to be able to defend yourself. And if you don't have the tools to do that, then you are at the mercy of the ones who put you away. And the tools for that are guns. See you next time.